Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm one of the hosts, the Paranormal Outlaw. And joining me is Martin Bravo of Bravo Paranormal. What's up, Martin? Is Martin there? Martin, you there? Oh! It puts you on hold.
Nice. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. I just finally got a weekend off there. Me and Stacy got to not have to worry about two, you know?
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's one thing when, you know, when you're just running around every weekend and then you're like, man, even weekends I don't get a break.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? And it doesn't help that the Texas weather is hot as hell.
Oh, man, right? No, if there's any key advice I can give to other Texans out there is have AC in your car. Because when you don't have AC in your car, you get home and you're just like, you're like in a boxing match the whole way home and you're trying not to get knocked out. You know, by the time you get home, you're just like, I'm so tired, I'm going to bed.
Oh, I know the feeling. I don't have AC in my truck either, so yeah, it's not fun.
No, man. And you know what's weird? I have a white car. That car, hands down, the hottest vehicle I've ever owned. Like, for some odd reason, it gets hotter inside than it does outside, and it stays that way. Like, I can have all the windows down, and it's still hotter inside. I'll never get it, man. You feel like it's a walk car, so it won't be that hot, you know? But, God.
Yeah. Jeff will not be with us tonight. He's doing some, he had to go to some kind of teacher, some kind of meeting conference thing, so.
Nice.
It's just myself and Martin tonight. So. Yeah, and I fished in a bass tournament this weekend with my dad, and yeah, I'm still trying to recover from that because I didn't get up at 3:30 in the morning, Saturday morning, and fished all day in the heat, and got home about 4:00 in the afternoon. So yeah, my sleep all messed up.
Dang, man. What's it called? Yeah, bass fishing is fun, man, because I don't know if it's just a man thing or what it is, but sitting on a lake, not doing anything other than just sit fishing, to me, that's fun. Like,
yeah.
I enjoy that. You know, it's time to unwind and just not think about anything. But there's some people out there that are like, oh, that's the most boring thing ever. You're like, you don't get it.
It was fun. It's a good time to hang out with the dad and be out on a river. We're actually out on a river instead of a lake this time. So, yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was fun. So, a new little it's always been a hobby of mine. It's just kind of been put on the back burner. And since I've taken a break from the paranormal and all that great stuff, it's great to kick up that hobby again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
so.
Normal. You know, there are times that live in normal, but it's so good to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there's, break now. I haven't done too much stuff, a bit here and there. It's kind of nice to get back to the location.
You're kind of cutting out there, Martin.
I'm sorry, man. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. But, yeah, I was just saying,
you were talking and it would break up, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, my bad, man. Yeah, for some odd reason, my phone, like my Sprint, man, I've had crappy service for like the last 2 weeks. I'm hoping they'll fix that, but.
Yeah, I know that all too well. I have Sprint as well, and I'm like close to the middle of town, and I have crappy signal in my house.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
Which makes no sense. No sense whatsoever.
I know, right? They're like, you'd figure like a multi-billion dollar company could put up a few extra cell towers a year. Not really asking too much.
Yeah. So that's pretty much all I've been doing, you know. It's one of those things. Tonight we have Stephanie Rice, who was going to be on the show a month or two ago, and things didn't pan out, but we got her on the show tonight, so she'll be calling in here shortly. I'll go ahead and read her bio, get that done. All right. Stephanie Rice is psychic medium and founder of The Other Side Paranormal Research. She's been seeing and communicating with spirits since she was 2 years old. She has a unique gift that she can open and close portals, so she's always sought out the good by the good and evil. Her fear of the dark ones kept her from using her abilities for a long time. In 2006, she founded the Other Side Paranormal Research Society and started using her gifts to help those having problems with the paranormal. The more she used her abilities, the more they blossomed. Now she helps all types of hauntings, and she also does reading. She can also look at photos and pick up on the spirit activity, if there is any, and often has visions, which are like movies playing in her head, of how things were in the past in certain locations. That's kind of cool right there. People started telling her about haunted locations, and she can see their house and tell them what it looks like without even being there. She can cross over lost spirits to the other side and can send evil and negative ones back to where they came from, never to return again. Go down here a little bit. It's been such a reward when she can provide closure for those who need it and restore peace. Been to many locations in the U.S. and helped so many and feel blessed to be able to use her gift in many ways. She has a real passion for the paranormal and really loves to do it. So that's a little bit about Stephanie Rye. She's also part of Haunted Entertainment Talent, so goes to conferences and whatnot as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. So that's what we have going on tonight. I'm still, when I say I take a break from the paranormal, I mean it's like mainstream paranormal, running the team, but all that stuff that you have to do. But I do some freelancing, and I'm reviewing some EVP sessions from when Jeff and I and Dad went to Vicksburg Battlefield in
Vicksburg.
I'm reviewing the EVPs from that. So curious to see if I got anything. I'm going to try to start another little project on the side at some point. I don't know when, but I think I'm going to start doing little 5-minute EVP sessions at historical markers.
Dude, man. I'll tell you, like, you know what's weird? You wouldn't think you'd get stuff like that. But the more you do it, the more I feel like the spirits know you're going there to do it. So when you show up at a historical marker, they're like, hey, yeah, time to talk to this dude. You know, he's coming out every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be cool to pick up, see what you pick up as far as, you know, history and stuff like that.
Well, we always talk about activity tied to the land or to a structure. So why not visit some of these historical markers and see what goes on there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hang on a second. I got to screen a phone call. It might be our guest, so I will be right back.
All righty.
I don't know who that was. I don't know if that was our guest, and they're having issues. Tried to ask them, but I couldn't make out what they were saying.
Oh, man, that sucks. Hopefully that was our guest. They'll call back, you know, shortly.
Right. Definitely.
Do you do a lot of PayPal stuff?
Yeah.
There's an app you can actually buy, and it's free. And you just download it. It's for PayPal, and you get, like, a free card reader in the mail. So, like, say if you're out, you know, and you sell anything, you know, like, on the down low, and somebody's like, oh, man, I didn't bring cash with me, you can actually take a credit card transaction to your phone, and it goes straight to your PayPal. And they send you the card reader for free in the mail. So I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, you know. That's cool. You know, one thing that that we're doing on Terrify Radio is we're kind of revamping the show a little bit. We're going to span out past just talking paranormal and talk about all kinds of things. But one thing that... Let me see if I can find them here. You know, one thing that we actually have two guests that come on the show and throw in their comments every now and then. And it's a blast from the past. See if you can recognize who these individuals are.
Could you, like, shut up and give us some money?
Oh, man. That sounds like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, money. Money is cool.
Oh, thing I was thinking about the other day, and we hadn't done it in a while. I'm just doing what is it, real or not real, or something like that. Just ask questions about Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss doing that, man. We should do that again. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, we're gonna crank that back up. You know, gotta have some fun while we're doing that. Not only fun while it's just us, but it's also fun when we like to have fun. You know, make our guests enjoy, you know, the time they have with us, and that's what it's all about.
Heck yeah, man. Oh.
Not too many crazy things going on in the world right now, you know, but give it some time there.
Yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right, man. It seems like things have calmed down for the most part. Even, I know this sounds crazy, but even astral stuff that to do with space have calmed down quite a bit. Because this time last year, there was all kinds of stuff going on. There was meteor showers, meteorites, you know, just everything. You're like, man, I can't believe this, you know. And, no, but, yeah, everything has kind of slowed down a little bit. So hopefully,
hopefully
it's slowing down, as in, you know, things are going to be better. People aren't going to be acting crazy all the time and not, like, slow down before the storm, you know?
Yeah. You know, there's some things. I'm kind of saving them for when Jeff gets back where us three can talk about them. But, yeah, I got some strong opinions about the George Zimmerman case and the verdict that the jury reached.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we have to wait for Jeff on that one, because I want to hear what Jeff has to say about it, because I know he has an opinion on it. Because, you know, Jeff has an opinion on everything political, and sometimes I really agree with what he says, and sometimes I don't, but that's the greatest thing about opinion. You know, I always have to agree. Yeah.
Definitely. And I believe we have our guest here with us, so let me put her on. Stephanie, you with us?
I am.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Well, I read your bio, well, a lot of it, not all of it, because it's long. We all have long bios, you know, when you have to talk about yourself. So, I always hate that when somebody says, hey, write a bio, you know, and it's like, well, do I write too much or do I write a little bit, you know, so. Tiffany.
Especially when there's a lot to say.
I know, right? So, you have a gift, and when growing up did you start noticing that you had something? That something was going on?
When I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I used to see people around me all the time. My mom thought they were imaginary friends, but they weren't.
You know, and that, you know, you always, once people get into the paranormal, you start wondering about that when kids say, hey, I have an imaginary friend, or who are you talking to? I'm talking to this boy or whatever. And it makes you wonder how many of them are actually them seeing some kind of spirit that they're talking to.
Yeah, probably more than people know.
Right? So when did you decide to get into the paranormal and start helping people?
That was in 2006. I had known my whole life that I was different, and I could always see spirits, and they would try to talk to me, and it always scared the crap out of me. And I was just sitting there one day, and I was like, you know what? I have a gift, and I have to be able to use it to help people somehow. And so I started my team, and then I just asked God, like, look, you gave this to me, so I need you to help me. Like, show me what to do. And I got my first case the next day, and it just went from there. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Now, on your first case, I mean, your first time doing anything, you're always like nervous and excited and scared. How did that pan out for you?
It was actually pretty crazy. The case I had, these people, they lived in an apartment building, and they were being tormented and seeing things and hearing things. And I went in and right away I picked up on the fact that a man had murdered his entire family. We were getting EVPs, and I had to kind of like unravel the story and why he did it, and I was actually able to cross them all over, and then they had no problems after that, and they actually went to the building owners, and they asked about, you know, everything that I had said, and they told them that, in fact, a man had come home. He got fired from the coal mine, and he had murdered his entire family, and then he killed himself, which they didn't know prior to living there.
Right.
Not convenient. But but I was able to help them, and they've never had a problem since. And that kind of just sparked it for me. Like, I can really help people, and this is what I'm supposed to do. And it's just been going from there.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a weird question. You still go to, like, haunted locations and stuff like that too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, like, say you went to, like, I don't know, like, Waverly Hills, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever brought, like, a spirit back home with you, and that spirit, all they wanted was to be crossed over?
No. Normally, I catch them while I'm there.
Uh-huh.
I have had things follow me that, you know, weren't very nice.
Yeah.
I'm able to get rid of those things, too. But no, usually I can... If they communicate with me at the location, I make sure that if they want to cross over, that they cross over before I leave. Like, I don't want to leave them there. They're not supposed
to
be there.
Nice. Yeah, that happened to me last year about this time. I went to Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, and we brought a couple spirits back with us, you know? And
yeah.
We just knew something was off in the house, and just like, our animals were looking at us crazy, and, you know, just something was different. And so, you know, I told my wife, I was like, I'm going to turn the ghost box on real quick to see if, you know, anybody's, you know, lingering around. And sure enough, this lady said she was from Old South, and she just wanted to be crossed over. So we helped her cross over.
Aww.
That night. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, man, because, you know, when you go to locations like that, they make you sign a waiver saying that you won't cross spirits over, and you're not going to try to rescue any spirits while you're there. And now I wonder, like, you know, not by them doing it on purpose, but, you know, by default, are we actually keeping spirits at locations like that, you know?
Yeah, they aren't supposed to be there. And I look at it like my duty, my gift, my ability is to not just to help the people,
mm-hmm.
but to help the lost spirits, and they're not supposed to be here, and I can't leave them there. If they want
right.
to cross over, I can't leave them there so someone can make money off of them or have a haunted location.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much people won't let me come to their locations if they want things to remain there.
Right. And it is interesting when it comes to the spirit world that there are spirits out there that need help in order to cross over. And, you know, I've come across, and I'm sure you have too, a lot of people in the, you know, general population that are not in the paranormal that, you know, their religious beliefs and whatnot or whatever they believe in, they're like, well,
right.
you know, when you die, you go either here or here, you know. You're not just stuck, right? And once I got into paranormal, I realized there are spirits that either refuse to cross over or scared to cross over, or they're lost. They don't know what
yeah.
to do.
Some of them don't know that they're dead either. And
mm-hmm.
I find that especially with a traumatic death, it's more likely that the spirit won't cross over. And it's sudden,
mm-hmm.
it's unexpected, and they are confused. And then once the light comes and they don't go, then they're stuck until the light comes again, and it's not going to come on its own. Then they have
yeah.
to have someone like me or someone that can bring the light and cross them over. And that's hard. They're not supposed
mm-hmm.
to be stuck here.
Right. Yeah, we had a...
For various reasons.
Yeah, we came across a spirit of a little boy that he had been dead for over 120 years, and we asked him, you know, why he was still there, and he kept saying that he was waiting on his mother.
Aww.
And we tried to explain to him, since he'd been dead, you know, a long time, that his mother is on the other side where the light is. And he goes, well, I'm scared, you know. I don't know about going to that light, you know. And we coaxed him into going to the light, and the psychic told us the image that he was getting, and he said the boy stepped up to the light and stuck his head in, and it disappeared, right? So all you see is from shoulders down. And then he popped his head back out of the light and smiled and said, hey, you're right. My mom is over there. And he went into the light.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've had to bring, relatives through for spirits to convince them to go, especially children, because they are the most afraid. They don't know what it is. And they always ask me, you know, if you're telling me to go over there, what's over there? And I can't see what's over there until I go over there myself. So I'm like, well, I can't tell you, but I know that it's good. And I know that all the other spirits that have gone there were happy and thanked me as they were crossing over. And they were reunited with the people that love them and that they love. And kids, you know, they're still like, yeah, well, you haven't been there, so I'm not sure if I believe you.
Right.
It's hard sometimes, but that's good if you can show them, like, look, here is your mother, your father, your grandmother, whoever it might be.
Oh, yeah. I also found it interesting with reading through your bio that you can pick up things looking at photographs.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Smiles out.
I don't know how it works. It's kind of crazy. I didn't realize I could do it, but I would, like, people would post things on Facebook, and I would see photos of haunted locations. And this one day, this location was, it was overseas somewhere, and I started commenting on it about what I was picking up on, and he actually responded, and he's like, that's exactly what we found there. Like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know, it's the energy. Like, I can connect with the energy through the photo. Just like if I'm sitting there doing a reading and a location is haunted, someone's house is haunted. I've done readings in Indiana, and they're like, oh, my house is haunted. So I'm sitting there with the person, and I can connect with the spirit in their home, and then I start describing their home to them without ever being there, and they look at me like, you're insane. But it's a connection with energy. So if I can connect with that energy, then I can see everything they see. So it's kind of how it works.
Yeah, you're not crazy, because we've had some other psychic mediums on the program. And the one lady, she did a remote viewing of my house and described it to a T. And
yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times I throw them a little test, because there's a couple spirits in my house, and just 9 times out of 10, they're pretty spot on what's here. It's a one spirit followed me from a location and is just hanging out in my house. He doesn't bother me, but he's here. I wish he would pay rent or do the dishes or something, but you know.
Does he try to talk to you? Like, does he try to communicate with you?
No, he communicates with anybody that walks in and has a gift that knows, that can pick up on him. Then he'll talk to them. Me, no. You might hide stuff from me every now and then, and I don't know if I did it or he did it, so I just kind of toss it as him doing it, you know. But who knows? He's a practical joker, so I'm sure he's hidden my keys from me a few times.
I don't know if it was him. What about the woman?
The woman?
Mm-hmm.
That would be my ex-girlfriend that passed away.
Was that... Did she have cancer, something else that would have affected everything? Like all.
Yeah, she had a brain aneurysm, and actually, I was on the phone with her when she had the aneurysm hit. So yeah, that's her.
And your grandfather has passed as well?
Yeah.
And that was heart. Did he have trouble breathing? Did he have?
Yeah, he had. He was having trouble with his throat and went in, and they found that he had bone cancer.
Okay, that's the breathing. You've got quite a few in your house, though. What you've got, the man that he's got, that the hat, he's very tall, and he wears kind of like hat. And there's also a woman who's got her hair done up. It's almost like a bun on the top of her head, and she wears this long dress. Looks like it's maybe lightish blue color, very light in color, but not white.
Mm-hmm.
And do you ever have anything with a child? Because there's a child there as well.
Well, that's the spirit that followed me from a location. He's actually passed away when he was like 40-something years old, but he appears as a 8-year-old boy.
Okay.
And what's weird about him is when people connect to him and talk to him, he talks like an adult, but he appears as a child.
Yeah. They can choose that. And that sometimes worries me too, because when they can appear different to different people, sometimes that means that they're not necessarily
Yeah, they're shape-shifting.
Yeah, that's usually not a good sign.
Yeah.
So what's you get a lot of knocking? You hear a lot of knocking?
Not that I know of. I don't notice it.
Is there something with knocking? Like, did somebody get locked out or locked in, or was a door locked that isn't normally locked?
I got locked out of my house one time, but I left a window unlocked just in case of that. Since then, I've changed a lock where it doesn't lock on me when I go outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten locked out of your house too, Kevin. When we're waiting to go to Old South, I walked outside because your dog wanted to go outside. I went out there and all of a sudden, the door locked on me. I was like, what? How do I get inside? And I think Jeff had let me back in the house, but there was a probably a good 10 minutes. I was kind of scared about it.
Oh, Lord. I got another caller, so I'm going to go screen. So, Martin, feel free to ask her another question
while I'm doing that. Sure. how long have you been crossing spirits over, like, just, I guess, not professionally, just knowing that you can do it, you could do it?
That was that first investigation that I talked about. I kind of discovered my abilities as I went along. So I didn't have anyone to teach me or to guide me or to say, you can do this, you can do that. Everything that I've been able to do, I've learned by doing it, by helping people. Someone came to me one day and said, can you do readings? And I was like, I don't know, but I'll try. So I sat down with this complete stranger and I gave her a reading, and she was in tears and everything was exactly right, and I was like, oh, I guess I can. And then that kind of, she was telling people, and then I started getting more calls for the readings than I was getting for the investigating. But I'm passionate about both. All of it's helping
right.
people, but I still love the excitement of the investigation. You never know what you're getting into. You never know what is going to happen. It's just that ghost hunter in me that I'm like, yeah, I love that. So
oh,
I
yeah,
get, like,
yeah.
antsy, like, okay, I've been doing readings a lot. I need to go to a really haunted place and have fun.
Now, have you ever been visited in like, say, a dream state, like, I don't know, a couple
absolutely.
Days before? Couple days before you go to, like, a location?
Oh, yeah. I used to, I haven't been doing it so much anymore, but I used to have dreams about places, and then, like, I would know, like, someone would email me or call me and say, can you come to this location? And I would say, okay. And then I would start picking up things about that location before
mm-hmm.
I got there. So I used to just, like, write that down, and I would just, the color of the house, the color of the haunted rooms, you know, anything that would come to me, I would just write it down before I got there, and then I would, like, verify it when I got there. So most of the time, it wasn't really through a dream, but I have dreamt about places, and then I've ended up being in those places going, oh my gosh, I dreamt about this place.
Nice.
Or when I went, I just did an event in March here in Santa Paula, and I did the event with Haunted Entertainment, and I'd had this dream before I came to California, and there was this boy in my dream, and I'd never seen him before, but he spoke to me, and it was really odd, and
mm-hmm.
we went and stayed at the Glen Tavern Inn and did the event there, and there were a lot of spirits there, and something just told me there was a shelf above like this little sitting area, and there was a photo of all these people, and something told me to look at the photo. And so I stood up on everything and like pulled it down, and I'm looking at this photo, and there stands the boy that was in my dream months before I even went there. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. And
wow.
I almost dropped the picture. I was pretty shocked, actually. But there he was.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Even
for me.
There was one time we had gone to this location in Jefferson, Texas.
Yeah.
And it's like it's considered the most haunted town in Texas. You know, like every place inside of Jefferson is haunted. But we were doing I went there for overnight investigation. I was helping out a friend. And there's some extra people there, you know. And when I woke up, I went downstairs in the morning, and there was, like, this kid. And I was like, man, I know I've seen this kid before, you know. And I turned the corner to go into the kitchen, and there's a painting of a kid on the wall. And he looked, like, to the T, like, the same haircut, everything. And I was
wow.
like, man, this is, I mean, and I talked to the kid just to make sure that I wasn't just seeing, like, a spirit or something, you know. But
yeah.
It was pretty trippy, and I told him, dude, you gotta come check this out, man, because it's messing with my head. I just gotta show you, you know. I was like, you're actually, I don't know if you were meant to come to this house, or it's just all coincidence, but look at this painting. He got all freaked out by it. He's like, that's weird, man.
Oh, I bet.
We have a caller on hold that would like to ask Stephanie a few questions.
Oh, cool.
Hello?
Caller,
hello?
Are you with us?
Yes,
yeah.
I am. Stephanie.
And
hello.
Stephanie, this is Gavin.
Hi.
The one that was, like, talking to you on Facebook and sending you pictures of Arlo.
Yeah, you hang out with my kids.
Yeah. With your psychic powers, what am I thinking?
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, it should.
It doesn't.
Stephanie.
What?
Are you usually, like, tripping when you have these adventures?
No.
Oh, have you ever been tripping and just going to one of these places and you're like, whoa, ghost people?
No.
Really? You should try
really?
It.
No,
yeah.
I don't think I will.
Go get stoned out of your mind and just be like, wow. But how has Emmy been?
Alrighty then. Well, thanks
oh
for calling in.
Oh, my God. Oh, God love your children's friends.
Oh,
hi,
man,
Emmy.
That's
your
funny.
Friend Gavin just called in. Oh, Lord.
Bye. Bye, Stephanie.
Bye.
Oh, Lord. Didn't realize that that was who that was.
Yeah, no. Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Hey, it keeps the show lively, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm going to have to kick my daughter's butt and tell her to find new friends.
Man, we had a couple kids call in one time, and they asked us to look up this website, and for all intents and purposes, it sounded like a harmless enough website, you know. So I told everybody to look it up, and I even posted the link in the chat room, and then, you know, there's some things in life you just cannot unsee. And
yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I can't believe I posted this in the chat room, so it's there until the end of the show, you know?
Oh,
yeah,
they sent this
to, like, a really just dirty website, but it was, like, extremely, like, bad fetish type of website. And I was like, you know, never again am I going to post another link by anybody.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't either. You end up on, like, rotten.com where they show
right.
disgusting things. Oh.
Yeah, you know,
goodness.
I know one thing I was going to ask you before the caller called in. You know, you said you could pick up on energy at a place or pick up on a photograph. Have you ever watched a show on television, one of these ghost hunting shows where they're actually at a haunted location, and through watching it, just by your gift, you're not trying, but you actually can pull one of the spirits that's at that location, and they show up at your house?
They haven't showed up at my house, but I can pull spirits to me like that, but I watch those shows and I just get like aggravated because I'm like, I could go there and I could fix this, but they're not fixing it. Like, they're telling us that it's haunted, but they aren't doing anything about it. And I'm like, I could go there and make this place better. And it was funny because I watched the episode of Ghost Adventures with Bobby Mackey. And they're talking about that portal being where they throw all the, it used to be like where they throw all the like butchered animals and blood would run through there and stuff. And they're like, this is the portal of hell. And I'm sitting there watching it going, that is not where the portal is. Like, I know it's not there. It's behind that room. It's behind that room. And I'm describing where it is. And it was awesome because I actually got to go to Bobby Mackey's for an event with Haunted Entertainment, and we got to do some investigating, and the portal was not, in fact, there. And the people at Bobby Mackey's were like, yeah, no, the portal's not there. But they made that mistake, and they kind of couldn't take it back. The portal was actually where I had pictured it. And I was telling the woman, like, I can close portals, I can stop spirits, negative, nasty stuff from coming in and out of here. And she was all gung-ho, like, yeah, do whatever you want. And then when she realized that I really could do it, she was this, she's favored this one portal, which is the biggest one in the place, and she walks out of the room, and I'm sitting there with the camera, and she's like, you can close every portal except for this one. And I was like, oh, really? Like, why not this one? But oh, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It definitely makes you wonder, you know?
Yeah, well, I closed it anyway. I went outside and did it anyhow. So I don't think she's very happy with me, but...
Nice.
That's another another thing I can't leave open, you know. You can't have a demon playground going on.
No. Yeah, and a lot of times people, you know, with the day and age now, we've asked the question, and a lot of people talk about it as well, you know, when people say, well, has the activity... across America or across the world, I guess you could say, has activity picked up or, you know, subsided or whatever in the last year? Well, my answer always has been with that is it's not necessarily that the activity has increased a lot, which it could have, but it's hard to really put a finger on that with people not talking about their experiences. I think there's more awareness. And I think more people are coming out and wanting help now more than ever.
Exactly.
You know, and I think people, because of the shows and because of movies, you know, you got all the Paranormal Activity movies, and then you got a slew of movies about demonic type spirits. And
yeah,
a lot of people, they... just dealing with people in general, a lot of people, they dabble in shit that they don't know anything about. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, and they play around with stuff, and they're like, well, it didn't work. Well, how do you know that? You know, just because something didn't happen doesn't mean it didn't work. You might have opened up something, and get ready, something will happen, you know.
And that's what happens. They do. And I can't tell you how many cases I've had where people have played with Ouija boards or even tarot cards or anything. Just, oh, we're going to have a seance. And next thing you know, they're looking for help because things are going bump in the night, objects are falling over, you know. And it's always, when I get the calls or the emails, it's always, I think there's a demon in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I have not come across anything even remotely close to that. I deal with a lot of negative, a lot of demonic type entities, but a true demon is not going to come play, let me knock your lamp over in your house. They have bigger, more important things to be out there doing than, you know, moving your shoes or turning the light on, but people are so scared that that's their first instinct, like, oh my God, it's a demon.
Yeah, and, you know, the first thing that we have told them in the past was stop talking about it. Number one, you don't know what's in your house. Number two, if you keep talking about it, you're going to invite one in your house.
Yep.
So... get out of that state of mind. We don't know what it is. There are spirits that are, you know, if you're an asshole in life, you're an asshole in the spirit life. Your personality
exactly.
goes with you. Your energy.
Exactly.
And there are spirits out there that will mimic demonic type things in order to scare the hell out of you and get you to leave them alone. You know, just because you got scratched with three scratches does not mean that's a demon.
Right.
So
true.
You know, and that's the state of mind that people are nowadays. And trust me, I've encountered a couple times demonic forces, and it was true demonic activity, and actually witnessed a full-fledged possession. And let me tell you, that ain't what, just like you said, they're not there to push over a lamp. I've seen pure evil, and it's not a fun experience.
No, it absolutely isn't. And I haven't dealt with a full-on possession, but I want to. Like, that's what I want. Like, give me the worst cases, send me to the worst places that there are, because that's what I'm made for. I'm here to deal with that. Give it to me.
Yeah.
And I've dealt with, like, a lot of partial where they were almost taken over completely. And it hadn't gotten to the point. I mean, one was probably like half a day away from being completely, completely fully possessed. But it takes a demonic entity a long time to prepare someone. It's not like they go, I'm going to possess this person, and it happens in a second. It takes time because they get in your head. They work on your weaknesses, on your insecurities. They make you doubt yourself. They have to break you down before they can enter.
Yep.
And it's a very lengthy process.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand. There's that stage before possession, which is demonic oppression. Now, the possession that I witnessed, though, was because of it skipped all those steps. It went straight into somebody because of the fact we were dealing with another team that had a woman on there that was into Wiccan, which is fine. I got friends that do all different kinds of things, pagans, whatever. But it just depends on your intent and what you're really into. Well, this particular one was into dark crap, everything evil. And she called this thing out, and she got what she asked for. She called it out, and it picked off the weakest one. And, it tried on one girl, and we threw holy water on her, and it stopped. But then it went into my teammate on the way home.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, because she was like, it was real quiet. It was real eerie. You know, even being in haunted locations, you get that gut-wrenching, just not, like, something ain't right.
Yeah.
And we were driving home. It was quiet, and she goes, my arms are going numb. You know, and we're not even having, nobody's even talking in the vehicle. My arms are going numb. And I was like, what the hell? So I turn and look, and her eyes were a different color. They were solid black. Her pupils were just dark as
dark
could be. And I was like, what the hell? And without thinking, you know, without ever really experiencing this before in my life, I undid my seatbelt. I reached into my bag where I have all my sage and everything else that I carry with us. And I grabbed my Bible, and I turned around and put it up and slapped it on her forehead, and she started convulsing. And, and at first I was like, okay, is she playing a joke on me? You know, that kind of thing. But then my Bible slipped off her forehead, and I had burned her skin all the way across her forehead with that Bible.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's when you're like, oh, shit. You know?
Yeah.
What
is real?
You know?
Yeah.
This is real. This ain't no fake. And in a groggily voice, it wasn't even her voice, it kept looking at me and saying, you know, this body is mine, and fuck your God, and that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, this is real. You know, I am right here with it in the car.
Like, I would be, like, ecstatic about that, because I'd be like, all right, now I'm going to kick this demon's ass. Like, come on. I love it.
I went to war with the thing for about 4 hours, and it wore me down. But ever since that experience, it's kind of like that stench, that stink, that feeling that I had, and being actually connected to her body by holding that Bible on her forehead for a good long time.
Yeah.
I felt that energy. So, you know, when I go into a location, if there's something that bad there, or close to it, I know it's there.
Yeah.
Because I can.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's never going to go away as long as I live.
No, it won't. I was attacked once.
Do I?
And I was I went to this place. It's called Livermore. And supposedly this witch had cursed the town. The town had her killed. She cursed the town while they were hanging her, saying, you know, the town is over, blah, blah, blah. Well, the town ended up being buried underwater. A dam broke and buried the town. And you can still see, like, if the water's low enough, you can still see parts of this town underneath water. And
oh, wow.
We were walking, yeah, we were walking back there, and it was not good. The feeling was just awful. And my guides were telling me, don't go any further. If you have to go further, go to the left. So I walked over to the left on this path, and I saw a demon dog, like red eyes staring at me. And I was like, okay, we're going to turn around. Because at that point, I wasn't sure what my abilities were capable of with that type of entity. And we turned around, and I felt this god-awful, like, ripping and burning on my arm. And I had, like, 4 layers of clothes on because it was, like, 20 degrees out. And I'm like, there's no way I'm not near anything. There's no way anything is, like, hurting me underneath all these layers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had gotten scratched. And I didn't feel right. Like, the next day, I just didn't feel right. Something was wrong. I didn't feel myself. And I was like, what do I do? And they were like, put a cross on it. And I actually have pictures on my Facebook. There's this cross, and I just lightly held it on the spot where I got scratched. Well, it actually, like, put an imprint of the cross. It was burning me. And it was burning the person's hand that was holding it on there, because I was holding it and it started burning. And I'm like, hold it, hold it. And it was burning that person's hand. And I ended up with this imprint of this cross in my arm. It's like burned in there that was there for like 2 days. And then I was fine. I felt fine. And I never let anything like that happen again. I was like, you know, I will not be attacked. You will not get that close to me ever again. But you don't ever forget that feeling. Like, you don't feel like yourself. You feel like there's something in there working on you. And you can't tell what it is, but you just don't feel right. And it was crazy. And I'm sure that's, you know, what it feels like when people are being tormented and they're going, I don't know what's wrong with me. Why am I thinking this? Why am I acting this way? What is going on? But people, you know, oh, it's just this, it's just that. Then a lot of people don't realize that it's happening. They don't ask for help. And how many people, you've got people walking into a school full of kids, shooting them. You know, I don't believe that that's the workings of someone's mind. I believe that that's influence of another kind that there is unrecognized. And then it just takes over. And the next thing you know, you're doing something that you would never in your life do. And then you're taking your own life. It just doesn't make sense to me. No normal man who works hard all his life, is a great husband, a great father, just wakes up one day and says, you know what, I'm just going to murder my family and then kill myself.
Right, right.
That does not resonate with me. That's just not something that happens.
Well, yeah, and when it comes to the evil side of the paranormal, what a lot of people don't realize is there's only one being, I guess you can say, that has free will. Even the archangels of God do not have free will. They do what God tells them to do, and it's
right.
More than happy to do it. Us as man on earth, we're the only ones that have free will. And of course, the evil side of that, they don't like that. They do not. They despise that. So they try every trick in the book to influence your free will. You know, it always goes back to that cartoon we saw growing up. I can't even remember it, but you see the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder, you know, telling you what to do.
Absolutely.
That's pretty much what goes on. And, you know, like you said, and when that shooting at that school happened, there's just no way that there wasn't any kind of influence given to this individual to make him do what he did.
Exactly.
You know, it's one of those things that always makes you think about life in general and what is around you, you know, because I know for me personally, getting in the paranormal, it's opened up my eyes to so many things that I would have never thought of or even believed in prior to until I got into the paranormal, you know. And just like I said, when that whole thing happened with my team member, my religious beliefs and whatnot were in the crapper at that point and stage in my life. And after that whole experience, I knew if I come in contact with pure evil, if there's pure evil, there's pure good. There's not one without the other.
Exactly.
And so that's when my whole belief system shifted into what it is today. And, and I think a lot of people, and I know a couple of times helping residential, I tell teams all the time, you got to understand different religions. And they're like, well, why do you need that? Because every time you go into a home, you also have to deal with the fact of what type of religion are they? What's their faith? Because you got to know how to approach it, you know?
Yeah.
Because different religions have different beliefs, and you got to be able to do what needs necessary. You know, if you go into a Jewish home, that's a little bit different belief system than a Christian home. And you got to know that in order to help those people.
Yeah. And I'm always pretty straightforward, you know, with what I believe in. And no matter what, you know, when I go in, I'm like, look, I will be completely honest with you. And, you know, I believe in God, and this is how I work, and is this okay? And, you know, and most of the time they're like, yeah, you know, we need help. Whatever you have to do, do it. You know, they don't, they aren't saying, well, you believe in God and we don't. But I've had people that have said that, like, well, I don't believe. And by the time I'm done, they're looking, going, maybe there is, you know, and that's another amazing thing about my gift is that I'm changing people's beliefs. People who don't believe, and I've had people who, during a reading, you know, they always test me. They always throw things out there, and, you know, they don't believe in the beginning. And then by the time I'm done with them, they're going, you know, you have really put a loop in everything that I thought was real. And that's amazing that you're turning people's faith back on to something more. And that's just an amazing gift in itself. It's like working for God and putting more people on the good side.
And
it doesn't matter what God they believe in. It's all the same.
Yeah, and when helping people, a lot of times, especially, you know, we had one that was a really crazy case. It was demonic oppression type case. But the people involved were like, look, we're real religious people. We go to church every Sunday, blah, 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 blah. I just don't understand why this happens because, you know, the Bible says this, that, and other. Well, in order to get in their head and really explain to them that things are possible, you know, they might have been religious, but they've overlooked some of the things that are written in the Bible. So we actually had them look up some Bible scriptures and actually read, you know, pay attention closely to the way it's read or written. And they were like, I never realized that was in there, you know.
Yeah.
And through the process, they were like, okay, now I'm understanding a lot more. And I'm like, just, you know, I told him, I said, no offense, just going to church doesn't necessarily mean that this is the way it is. I said, you as an individual need to do some more readings on your own and read the Bible for what it is and understand it a little bit more. And your eyes will get open to a lot of things, you know. So, yeah, like you said, you really start opening their minds to the way things are in the world. And they may have overlooked it, you know. They might be very active in the church but still don't realize, you know, because a lot of people think, you know, not to get on the religious side of things, a lot of people think if they go through the motions and they go to church, nothing bad's going to happen to them. And that's not the way the world works. That's the way God works, you know.
No.
He has his reasons. He has ways of, you know, we all have ups and downs. There's not a person on this earth that doesn't have hard times in their lives. That's just the way it works. And you have to learn. Those are lessons that are given to us for us to learn. And even in the paranormal, a lot of times, to me, it almost is a way of God testing this family because every family that I've come in contact with, talking to them, there's something more going on than just the paranormal. There's stuff going on in the family, the way the family is functioning in the house, and that's how they're fueling the activity a lot of the times. And it's a way to get that family to heal and evaluate themselves. So, it's a lot of times people don't realize it's more than just helping them in the paranormal side of things. There's other things
Absolutely.
That we're helping them with.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
I think that's awesome that you are able to help people in that way, too, and that you think like that, and that you're out there doing good work and really helping families be at peace. And that's just an amazing thing. That's the best feeling in the world, I think.
Yeah, it's better than any payment out there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not... I'm sure you probably heard this, you know, before. You know, how much does your team charge to come? You know?
Nothing. Like, and I always say nothing. They're like, nothing? Are you really? Like, yeah. What do you mean? How can I charge you to do that? Like, my reward is when that family can live comfortably and be peaceful, and when they're hugging you and thanking you and you have really impacted them and changed their life in such a positive way, like, there's what more could you possibly ask for than that? And that's an amazing gift in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't charge money for that. You can't put a price on that. Absolutely not.
You know, I've actually... Martin and I and a few others, we've come across some people that actually do charge for their services. And I'm just like beside myself. We actually saw it on Facebook one time. Somebody posted a picture of a vehicle that had, you know how businesses or whatnot, they'll have vehicles and they'll have advertisements on their vehicle. Well, this particular one was for a paranormal team, and it was an advertisement for their services and paying them for their services. And then we looked up their website and whatnot, and they charge for their services. And I'm just thinking, okay, you're charging your services in a field that not a person in this field is an expert. Not a person in this field has every answer to what's going on the other side. We're always learning new things. How can you charge somebody? You're not Terminix. You're not a exterminator. You don't go in there and spray your magical dust and the spirits go away. It don't work that way. How can you put a guarantee on that? I mean, do you have a money-back guarantee, you know? the spirits come
yeah.
back, you get a refund.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I've had people that, you know, you do that for them, and, you know, I get great emails and letters and, you know, even from their family members. I helped this family in Indiana, and, you know, I went on my own dime. I went to the state of Indiana from Pennsylvania, and they're like, "You're really going to come this far?" And I'm like, "Oh, absolutely." You know, and you don't charge anything? No. I've spent thousands of my own dollars helping and traveling and doing what I do. And they were just shocked by that. Like, we can't believe that that's true. And, you know, being able to help them, and then, you know, now, you know, they're having a baby, and their house is wonderful, and their life is good. And I actually got, like, emails from her father thanking me for coming there. You know, and they hand me this envelope as I'm leaving, and they give me flowers and stuff, and it was, you know, beautiful. And I leave, and they had put, like, $250 in this envelope for me.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I didn't charge them anything to come there. I spent all my own money. There was no, you know, you have to pay me or anything. But they were so thankful for what I had done that they wouldn't take no for an answer. And it was just like, look, you came here. You spent your money. You saved my daughter. You helped her family. You know, this is our contribution to you and to what you do. And, you know, in that case, that's something totally different.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, 90%, actually, 98.9% of the things that my team has done, you know, we've never seen a dime for, you know. And it's not about the money when you're doing that. It has nothing to do, it's not a business. It's, you can either help people or you can't. And there's a lot of people in it for the wrong reasons. And
mm-hmm.
those people that are like, oh, yeah, we're going to charge you $500 to come in and do this, what are they actually doing? Are they even helping
mm-hmm.
people? Are they even making anything better? Probably not. And a lot of people are aware of that. If you contact a team and they say, we're going to charge you money, most people know that that's not a good sign.
No.
Right.
I have Tiffany in the chat room has a question for you, Stephanie. She wants to know, how did you figure out you could cross people over, and what was your first experience?
That was my first investigation, and I was communicating with this man who had murdered his entire family. And they were all in the same location, but they stayed away from each other. The mom and the two children stayed away from him, even in spirit, because they were afraid. And I had to communicate with all of them, and I had to make him understand that just because the things in his life that had happened made that event occur does not mean that his soul was bad. The person who lived that life and all the things that he had been through made that happen. But that doesn't mean he was evil. That doesn't mean he doesn't get to go to heaven. And as I was talking to these spirits, you know, and telling them these things and communicating with them, they all kind of bonded together. And once I got them all together in the same room, I just asked God if he would come and take these spirits into heaven. And the next thing I knew, I could see this light, which I had seen once before, but I hadn't brought it. It had come from my grandmother. But I saw this light, and they walked through it. And he was the last one to go. And as they all went, you know, I heard them telling me thank you. And I actually picked up EVPs of them saying, thank you, and then they were gone. And then those people never had another issue. never heard, saw another thing in that place the whole time they lived there. So that was kind of my confirmation that, like, you know, I not only can see them and communicate with them, but I can help them go to where they're supposed to go. And now I just ask the light to come, and it opens. And once it's open, you know, they tend to go. Not all of them go, but they tend to go once it's there. So it was just in doing it. Like I said, everything I've learned has been by doing it myself, because I didn't have anybody to say, this is what you do, this is how you do it.
All right. Yeah. Definitely. Now, you also, let's see, you talk about in your bio of having an ability with water.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit. What can you do with water?
It's pretty funny, actually, because we were just, my major thing is, like, with rain, it started raining one day, and I asked my son, I was like, you want to come play in the rain with me? And he's like, sure. So he comes out, and it's just drizzling. And I was like, do you want it to rain a little harder? And he's like, he looks at me, and he's like, yeah. Like, I don't believe a word of what you're saying, but uh-huh. And I made it rain. I pulled the rein, and it started raining harder. And he looked at me, and I'm like, harder? And he shook his head, yeah. And I pulled it again, and it came even harder. And then he got a different look on his face, and he was like, holy shit. And I was like, do you want more? And he's like, yeah. And I pulled more, and it was like pouring down rain on him. And he's like, okay, I've had enough. And I pushed the rain back up, and it went back to a drizzle just that fast. And he looks at me, and he's just like, I can't believe you did that. And in the ocean, I'm a Cancer, and that's my water thing. And I like to play in the ocean because I can make the waves bigger. And it's so funny because we just went to the beach a couple days ago, and I go in the water no matter what. And all the Californians are like, she is not from here, because she's in a bathing suit in the water for a long time. And he's cold and he doesn't want to get wet. So he's up on this rock, and it's like the waves come, the water comes all the way up to the stairs and to the bottom of the rock. So he climbs up on this rock, and I'm out in the ocean, and I'm bringing the waves in, and I'm like, I'm going to get them. So I'm bringing the waves in, and the water's just getting higher and higher on the rock. And I had it almost, like, over his lap, and he jumped up onto this other rock. So I moved over and started pulling them in. Well, I got them to come up onto that rock, and he jumps back up again. He's like, can't you just leave me alone? Like, I don't want to get wet. So I just kept bringing them, and finally I got three to come together, two to come in, and then this one came in behind them and pushed it. And he wasn't expecting it, and I got him high enough to hit him on, he was like 3 or 4 feet above where the water was supposed to be hitting until I started playing with it. And I brought these three waves in together, and it was just enough, and it caught him, and it splashed up all on him. And he was like, damn you, like, why can't you just leave me alone? But it's just, I can't explain it, but I can see the energy in the water. And when I put my hands in it, I can make the waves bigger and bigger and bigger. And believe me, I get my ass kicked. I get knocked down and taken under, and then I stand up and I'm like, okay, I know you're still in control, but we're still going to play. But it was funny because I was trying to get him, and he's moving higher and higher, and I'm bringing the water higher and higher, and he's just like, oh, my God, like, really? And then I finally got him, and then I was happy, and then I quit messing with it. But I don't know. I, you know, I just discovered it playing in the rain with my sister. you know, I would, like, do these silly rain dances, and it would just start raining harder and harder, and, you know, I thought it was coincidence, but then I started playing with it more, and then when I would be at the ocean, I would start playing with it more, and I just realized that, like, you know, I have to have complete respect for it and understand that that's a force of nature and that it's in control. But mm-hmm. I'm allowed to play. I call it playing because it's fun. And I like to splash people and hit them with big waves when they're not expecting it. But I'm allowed to play as long as I respect it and understand that I'm not in control. They are.
Martin, we figured out something now. We can get Jeff. We'll go to the beach and we'll have Stephanie there. And of course, because Jeff's not on the show tonight, so he hasn't interviewed her. And have Stephanie there, and we'll have her have a big old ass wave take his ass out.
That'd be awesome.
That would be fun.
It's funny because people are like, yeah, right, you know, like even my boyfriend was like, yeah, you're not going to get me. And the waves are all just coming in at the bottom of the rocks. None are going up on the rocks. And then I just start playing and all of a sudden it's just like they're higher and higher. Mm-hmm. And he's getting splashed. It's getting closer to him that he's like jumping up off this rock and moving to a higher one. And then I brought it up even higher, so it hit the bottom where he was laying of that rock, and he's like, oh, for God's sakes, woman, like, why are you keep doing this? And it's just so funny, like, it still blows my mind that I can do it. I'm always, every ability I have, I'm still humbled by it, and it still just blows me away. Like, I can't believe that I can do that, but it's awesome. And when it's fun like that, you know, when you can actually show people, like, I'm not just talking shit, like, I can really do this. And then they get splashed or this big wave comes and they get knocked on their ass and they're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not messing with you anymore.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, one thing that I was going to comment earlier and I forgot, and it just popped in my head. Yeah, I'm a Cancer as well, and I just turned the big 4-0. So, yeah, I guess my mind's starting to go with age.
Hey, I just turned 42 on the 21st of June.
Well, mine was the 17th.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm right
so,
on that
call. one thing I've learned with when you were talking about you being scratched and you laying across on, I just remember this. What we tell people to do, and we've done it a lot because we've been around and a lot of the team members will get scratched or whatnot. Put holy water on it, and it subsides the burn. It makes it go away.
Yeah. I mean, that's always a really good thing to have, I think, especially for people who don't have any ability to deal with it, you know, in any other way. I mean, you can't go wrong with holy water. They hate that stuff. And I've told people, you know, if you feel more comfortable, put a Bible, you know, sleep with a Bible next to your bed, put it under your pillow. And I always give them prayers. I had this little girl, this family in New York, they couldn't live in their house. Their son had been grabbed by the feet, pulled under his bed. They had actually completely moved out. And they had me come there. And I cleared the house out and made it safe, and they were able to move back in and took the house off the market. And they decided they didn't have to sell it. And I actually became friends with this family. I've become friends with all the people that I've helped, but I became friends with this family, and the daughter, who's 13, is very susceptible to things. And she was mostly possessed. By the time I got there to help, she was pretty well taken over, and she had three entities working on her. And she kept, as soon as I walked in, she looks at her mother and she goes, "They don't like her." And she's like, "Oh, really?" And she's like, "Yeah." And she kept looking at me like she was going to kill me. Like, this girl loves me. Every time she sees me, she's like, "Oh, Steph, da-da-da-da." And she's looking at me like she wants to just rip my head off and shove it up my butt. And I'm like, "Oh, my God. Like, this is not good." And I could just see it. It wasn't her. And she would just get these blank stares, and her eyes were so dark, and her pupils were so small. And I'm like, you know, this isn't good. And I was able to help her and get rid of them and whatever. But I had taught her, she didn't know the Lord's Prayer. And I had told her before I got there, you know, I told her mom, I'm like, teach her this prayer. So I actually texted it to her on her phone. And she started saying it. You know, every night I said, before you go to bed, say this prayer. And it always worked for me. You know, whenever I would feel, before I knew the full potential of my abilities, I used to say that prayer all the time when I felt like something was trying to mess with me. And I would just say that prayer, and they would try to mess with me and make me forget it so I couldn't say it right. But I would just keep going and keep going, and I would say it as many times until I felt safe. So I mean, those prayers are a good thing to help people in situations like that, too.
Oh, yeah. I've told people to, especially in a case where it's we don't know how evil it is, whether it's human or inhuman or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
It's tormenting somebody. I give them a little test. I have the client open the Holy Bible and open it to Ephesians 6, which is the armor of God. And I have them open it up to that page and set it next to their bed and go about their everyday life. And you'd be surprised. There's been times where the book has been knocked off or closed. And
Now
I know, okay, well, obviously whatever we're dealing with does not like that prayer,
yeah,
that scripture. So, yeah, you know?
Yeah. It's very powerful, you know, when you're dealing with something like that. And that's, I mean, how can you not believe in God when prayers and holy water and the Bible has that much power over the evil entities? Like, there's a lot of power there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to say, oh, you know, I don't believe in this, when it's right there in front of you. Like, it couldn't be any clearer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this, you know, and what aggravates me, and I know Mark and I have talked about this before, you know, there's new teams that there are new teams that pop up all the time, and you know, they might have been watching TV and they're like, oh, I want to do that, right? And then they decide to start a team and start doing the thing. And my advice has always been to those new teams, until you've been in the field for a while and investigated haunted locations, don't undertake residentials as much as possible, especially nowadays.
Right.
And, you know, talk to people that are in the field, you know, get a lot of colleagues that have knowledge and learn from them. And then start helping them, because we've had to play cleanup a lot of the times with being the second team called in and cleaning up the mess of who was in there prior to us, because they made the activity worse and they left the family hanging. or they
Absolutely.
Tried to clean the house and really didn't have any idea what they're doing. I know one time a team had, instead of doing the process of saging the house and the prayers and everything that's involved with that, they sealed the house with salt first. Then they saged. And they got the two out of order, you know?
Yeah,
you salt it, then how are you going to blast them out of the home? You know, the salt is there for a sealing protection type thing to prevent things from coming back in, not the other way around. So, yeah, there's a lot of people out there that really need to do their research and really talk to a lot of people that have done residentials and get the knowledge. Not everybody's an expert, so that's why I say talk to a lot of people, because if you talk to several different people, they're all going to have different advice, and they all might have advice that'll work, right?
Right.
So pick and choose, and then come up with your own way of doing things, and then do it, you know? But I swear, people will go in, and they'll get evidence, and it's almost like they're reenacting what they see on television. They collect the evidence. They tell the client, yeah, you got something here. See you later. And that's it.
Now you deal with it. Yep. And that drives me insane. Oh, it drives me absolutely insane.
You know, and I'm just like, okay. The question's always asked when you're dealing with a client. You ask them. You know, even if it's not a case where it's something just crazy ass evil or whatever it might be, it just might be some relatives that are there, or it might be somebody that previously lived in the home, you know, but you always ask the homeowners, okay, this is what we found, here's the evidence, what do you want us to help you do? Do you want them gone? Do you want them to stay and you set some rules with them? Because homeowners, they don't realize they have more power than all of us in a lot of the cases. Yeah, we can go in, we can kick things out, we can close things up, that type of thing. But if people really knew, being the homeowner and the people, you know, living in that location, they can set rules. Now, I'm not saying all spirits will follow your rules, but if it's not something just crazy ass evil, you know, whatnot, you can set rules with these things, and, you know, you give them the option. Look, you live by my rules or you can get out.
Exactly.
And, you know, because some people, they don't mind them being there. You know, if it's, say, a relative they've never met, say it's a great-great-grandfather, you know, that's kind of watching over the family but gets kind of upset sometimes when the family's not acting right or doing things that they should be doing, and might act out and do a couple things, or the kids see, you know, the deceased grandfather and it freaks them out, you know. But in those kind of cases, you set the rules with them and say, look, this is my home, you know, and this is the way it's going to be, and that's it. But people don't realize that. They always find that out after you leave, when you explain all those rules that are out there for spirits, you know? And so...
Well, they don't realize the power that they have.
No, they don't. They don't at all. And because they go into that fear factor, you know, they're into that fear stage every time they call you. So they don't, they're past the, you know, you have to take that fear and switch it around and start empowering them again by talking
right.
to them. It's almost like, you know, Stephanie, it's almost like you end up being a counselor a lot of the times when you're trying to help
these
folks.
It is, absolutely. That's why it's not for everyone. I mean, you really have to have a gift with people and with understanding what they need and how to communicate with them. And you have to be very careful and cautious with them. So, I mean, it absolutely it has a lot to do with how you are with people. Ghost hunting is not for everyone. I mean, not truly if you're out there doing it for the right reasons and trying to help families and people, you know, cope and find peace with it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Most times when, you know, somebody's trying to get into paranormal and they're, you know, you can tell they're brand new and they're like, they come to you, they're like, hey, so what's the best tip you can give to somebody getting into paranormal? And usually what I'll tell them is find a less expensive hobby. Like,
yeah.
Because you get into it, you will go broke trying to prove or disprove ghost hunting, you know. But yeah, I mean, I like it when people get into it for the right reasons, but I kind of want, you know, you always hope that they do. I know
yeah.
I've come across a few people that are just like, they're into it to just for the sole purpose of being the next Ghost Adventures, and I'm like, dude, it didn't even work that way, man.
No, absolutely not. And you have to have a passion. I mean, if you're just going to go, you know, to cemeteries and, you know, just have fun and whatever, you're probably going to cause more problems than not, you know.
Right.
But that's better if they do that. Like, you can't just say, I'm going to be a ghost hunter. And it does, it costs a lot of money because you, all the equipment and all the gas and traveling and all.
Oh, yeah,
It drains the crap out of your bank account, you know. And if you're not doing it for the right reasons, then don't even bother, you know. You're not going to get on TV. You're not going to, you know, be the next big ghost hunting team by having, not by not having the right intent and the right reasons and the right things behind you to make you a good team and someone that actually wants to help people and do the right thing for the world, not just say, hey, look at me, I'm a ghost hunter.
Right, exactly.
I mean, not to knock the grandfather of the paranormal, but even John Zaffis' show has been canceled. So, I mean, there you go. You know, there's
yeah.
no longevity in being on television. It's all about ratings. It's all about the storyline, you know. So that's what I always tell people. I mean, go ahead and try it, but that doesn't necessarily, even if you've got one, that you're going to be on air long, you know, because these shows
right.
come and go. I don't know how many times I've had to delete programs off of my DVR that no longer exist. They've been canceled in the paranormal.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, a lot of it is, you know, repetitious. I mean, they're going to the same places. They're doing the same kind of thing, you know, and they're not helping anyone, you know.
Right.
Like, I came out to California because my guides told me that you need to go. This is the time. Go. I sold everything I could to get enough money to come out here, and I'm out here, and I'm actually working on a TV show, but it's not what you've already seen on television so
mm-hmm.
far. It would actually change the way everyone looks at the paranormal field altogether. You know, and am I doing it because I want to be on TV, because I want to be famous, because no. This is
yeah.
something that I was told, you need to pursue this, you need to go here now, you need to meet this person, you need to do this, because what you do and the people that will be impacted by what you do and the number of people that you can help will increase a million times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just about my team and what I may accomplish, but I've met so many teams that are out there with amazing hearts and doing this for the right reasons, and, you know, being able to pull them into it and get recognition to all these people out there doing it and helping people. You know, this isn't just about one team. If this show happens and my team makes it and it's all fantastic, I'm going to bring as many people along for that ride as I can. Because it's not just about that. It's about all of us collectively working for the better. And the more people that I can impact, the more people I can help, teams, people in general, you know, however, that's what it's about. It's about all of that. And it's so much
mm-hmm.
more than just, yeah, I'm going to be on TV. Well, yeah, that's fantastic. Are you going to really change the world or make a difference? That's what
right.
matters, you know?
Yeah.
That's what really matters.
Usually when I run across somebody that's like, yeah, we're going to be on TV and we're going to do this and that, I'm like, you know, do you really realize how many teams out there are still fighting for that one chance to be on TV, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, the odds are more high against you than they are for you that you would be on TV.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, and you know, that's really the only part of this gig, you know, that actually pays, you know. You're not going to go charge anybody, and nobody's going to be, you know, tossing you thousands of dollars to go investigate their home. So, yeah, I mean, that's the part of ghost hunting that does pay, but the odds of actually getting paid to do what you do, or you might as well get a college degree and pursue something else.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the ultimate dream, right? You get paid for what you love the most, for what you
yeah.
love doing
right.
the most. I mean, that's ultimately what everybody wants. Does it happen for everyone? No. You know, is it going to happen for me? I have guides and whatnot, so yeah, it's going to happen. Am I going to bring along as many people as I can and get recognition for as many good people and good teams out there as I can? Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's all together, and it's all moving
uh-huh.
towards all of us working to make the world better. And
nice.
you see the evil getting worse and worse and worse. All you got to do is watch the news, which I avoid.
Oh,
and
man.
You can see how bad the world's getting, and we need to all be together and fighting for the same thing, because we're up against a lot of shit right now.
Yeah, almost daily. I mean, I'm surprised by how evil people can get, you know? Like, there's sometimes, like, I'll see a news ad or a news link, and I won't even click on it because I don't want to read, you know? Just the other day, I ran across something, and I was like, this is just insane. Why would this be okay in somebody's head for them to do? I ran across this news link. This guy in Tennessee, he got put on the FBI most wanted list. He hadn't been caught yet, but he is convicted of raping a 4-month-old baby. I'm just like, what goes through your head, you know? Like, that is no human being that should be okay to do, you know?
Yeah, it's the world, and what's really sad. Oh, I think we lost Stephanie. Who'd we lose? Yeah, we lost Stephanie.
Oops.
She'll have to come back.
Good. she might not have wanted to hear that, because that's kind of bad.
Yeah,
I feel bad saying this, but dude, that's the one news link that I read that, like, that really disturbs me, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that just cannot. I don't see how that would be okay in anybody's head to be like, oh yeah, 4-month-old. It's just sad.
Stephanie, there?
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened, but it hung up on me all of a sudden.
Oh, man.
But
what I was going to say was...
Go ahead, Martin.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, just almost daily, I'm surprised by how evil people can get, you know?
Well,
yeah, it's,
what's sad
it's
is...
disgusting.
What's sad, and people don't realize it, it's infiltrating the paranormal field as well. And there are a lot of people out there that need to find something else to do, because all they're doing, they get more pleasure out of hurting people in the paranormal, talking crap, talking behind people's backs, backstabbing, the whole nine yards, then what the focus is, which is to help people. They're not in for that. They're in to cause as much chaos as they can and as much hurt and hurt as many people as they can, and they don't realize they're doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And they need to take a long look, just like you said, you know, with the way the world is, it's happening in the paranormal field as well, as far as the jealousy and the, you know, I'm going to dig dirt up on this person and this, that, and other. That's not what it's about. And that's not what God intended for us as humans to be doing. And passing judgment on people is not our job. We face judgment when we go to the other side and face God. He's the only one that is allowed to judge us. Nobody on this earth is allowed to judge individuals on who they are, what they do, and this, that, and other. So, taking a quote from Martin, if that's all you want to do, then you need to put the batteries back in the remote and watch Ghost Adventures.
There's no need for it. If we're all out here doing the same thing and we're all trying to help and all trying to do good, then we should all be working together. Like, no team is better than any other because, our team does this or our team does that. Well, that's great. Are you helping people? Yes. Well, that's what really matters. Are you doing it for the right reasons? Yes. Well, that's what really matters. Like, who cares about what team does what, and like, why would you have to put another team down because of that? I mean, we're all out there helping people and doing what we can do to make the world better, to make people's lives better. We should all respect each other and support each other, and not, it doesn't matter whose team does what or is better. It honestly does not matter.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay. I was going to say, I like to remind people, you know, even sometimes people are like, oh, yeah, our team's better because we do this, this, and this. And I'm like, how long have you had investigations just hang out on your hard drive? I mean, you're not really doing anything with it, you know?
Yeah.
But
I'm guilty
of
that, too. I've got all kinds of stuff I haven't gone through yet because it would take me forever.
Right. And, you know, I mean, every team is like that. Every team has investigations just chilling on their hard drive. But I think the biggest thing about it is, like, there's not really, I mean, until mainstream science is like, okay, we need all the information you guys have for ghosts because we think it's real now. You know, nothing that we do is really going to do much towards mainstream science, you know?
Right. But every little thing, every person that we can impact and change their view of things, that's an accomplishment. If you change one person's outlook, if you change one person's faith, that's enough. It doesn't have to be worldwide, and we're never going to go up against science and win because they can always explain it some other way.
Right.
But it's you open one person's eyes, and you've done something amazing. And that's, you can't ask for anything more than that. That's what you're doing. One person in a month or in a year is better than none at all.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, that's that's why I got out of the paranormal for the time being. I'm taking an extended vacation from that part of it, as far as being in the field with a team and all that stuff, and doing some personal research on things, and I still do this show and whatnot, but you know, I had to get out of it and shut everything down because of a lot of people out in the world being critical and flat out just assholes to me. So I decided I needed a break.
Yeah.
Huh?
Which is that's unfortunate. Like, what you're doing is good. And why should you let someone's opinion that doesn't really matter stop you from doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Well, it was too much. It was a combination of a lot of things. So what I'm doing now is I'm going to do a lot of research and experiments on my own that hopefully will get good results that at some point I can share with others in the field that will help them help people and test theories of different things. Yeah, I'm just doing some stuff for me to take a little break, get out of all this whirlwind of BS, and take care of me and people around me and focus on that for now. And hopefully everybody will chill the hell out. So,
yeah. You know? Wait for it to all blow over and then.
Yeah.
But it's a shame.
So.
You lose a lot of good people in the field because of stupid shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's just the way it works. Like I said, you know, it, depending on how I feel down the road, if I'm nice like I have been in the past, I'll share my findings with everybody. But if I'm still kind of, if I still see the field and see how people are getting treated, then I'm just going to share with certain people in the field, and the rest of them, I'll just put in a book and you can go buy it.
Right. Good for you.
You want to know what I found out? You're going to pay to find out, you know, if I have to go that route. That's not usually how I ask. I'm a very nice person and love sharing all my findings with people. But you back me in a corner, I'll just share with friends of mine in the field, and the rest can go pay to find out.
Yeah, the books will be flying off the shelf, and most of the people buying them are going to be the ones that gave you shit in the first place, going, oh, man, maybe we should have done that.
Oh, man, for real.
That's fine. I'll take your contributions from you buying my book, and put it back into equipment and everything else. Oh, so what do you got coming up? You got any events coming up?
There is Vegas Paracon coming up in August. I believe it's August 23rd. With Haunted Entertainment. And I think that's the next and only thing coming up right now. Out here in California, waiting on aid back to me and trying to get all these things rolling, and I'm doing readings and trying to get people I have to get a start. I do a reading, and then they tell 20 people, and then I get 12 more readings, and then they tell. And so I kind of just, like, relocated and trying to reach as many people as I can out here. And we've done some filming, and hopefully this, you know, the show will take off, and I can take a whole bunch of people on the ride with us, and we can throw the paranormal field for a loop.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. If you got something new and fresh and something that will shed some light on the paranormal in a different light, then I say go for it.
Yep. Hey, I sold everything and just came out to California with no place to stay and no game plan. My guides just said go, and I listened to them. And so far, I've been very blessed, and no matter what the situation, I'm very well taken care of. I'm surrounded by beautiful people, and I'm very, very fortunate and very blessed and very thankful. So.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Do you have, where can people read more about you or try to contact you? You got any websites or anything out there?
Mainly Facebook. Not my other side page, but the Stephanie Rice Facebook page. I'm on there all the time. They can message me or friend request. And, you know, I'm out here in Santa Paula and I'm here to do readings and investigations and whatever I can do to help people. And if you're not in California, it doesn't matter. I can do phone readings and, you know, I can help by looking at photos and whatnot. So they can find me on Facebook and message me a million times and I will help them.
Awesome. Sweet. Thanks so much, Stephanie, for taking time out to come on the show.
Thank you for having me. It was very fun. I enjoyed talking with you guys, and I'm happy that you guys are doing all the good things and all the right things, too. So I wish you a lot of success and good fortune.
Thanks so much, and we'll have to get you on again later on if your show takes off and you can actually start talking about it.
Heck yeah.
All right, well, you have a good night.
You too.
All right, good night.
Good night.
All right. That was a good show tonight.
Yeah, I had fun. It's cool to talk to people that are in it for the right reasons, you know?
Yeah. I totally agree on that. You know? Some people they need to reevaluate everything that they're doing.
Right? Oh man.
You know, you could be like my counterparts over here from Terrifier Radio that make comments.
We want to meet chicks. Yeah, and score. Yeah, I'd like to meet you. Yeah.
Oh. And where's Jeff when you need him?
Right?
You know? I'm getting kind of antsy because I haven't been able to bash Jeff here lately. Because we're going to have to bring some of that back.
Oh, yeah,
old,
for sure.
The gangs and whatnot, and bring some comedy back into the show. But,
yeah, it's always fun, man, when, I don't know, I like it because it lightens up the mood before the show begins, you know?
Yeah.
And I want you to start having a gay relationship.
You know what? Play that again, man. It's weird because it sounds like me.
And I want you to start having a gay relationship.
That's so crazy.
I want you to start living as a gay woman.
That's awesome.
That's Dr. Phil there. I guess Dr. Phil will be popping in from time to time on this show.
Oh, man. Is that really Dr. Phil?
Yeah, that is Dr. Phil.
Oh, man, I'm going to go into my bedroom and cut my wrist now. I can't believe Dr. Phil okay.
Unfortunately, Dr. Phil, his gig on Thursday nights, unfortunately, Ghost Hunting Texas Style is no longer broadcasting. So, Dr. Phil will have to pop in on our show. We got to give him some airtime as well, you know,
right.
Because that's the way it is. Isn't that right, Dr. Phil?
I'm a drunk pimp.
I'm a drunk pimp. Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, good show tonight, everybody, and I'm glad everybody listened. Next week,
Oh, I got to get on the booking again. I got one guest booked, and then I don't have anybody. Next week on the show, we'll have paranormal investigator Eric Perry of Haunted Entertainment on the show.
Nice.
So tune in tomorrow for Into the Darkness Radio, Full Spectrum Style with Matt and Dennis. And Brittany may be on, may not. She said she'd be on whenever she could. They celebrated 1 year last week. That was a great show. I joined in on the antics for a little while.
Awesome.
Tuesday, which I do, Martin, I do need to rebook Paravisions Paranormal. They were going to be on last week. So I'm going to reschedule them. They're really funny. They're out of Ohio. And really great paranormal team. I've listened to them on Ghost Hunting Texas Style, and they're really, really something. So
cool.
I have to get them back home. And, Terrify Radio on Tuesday, we will actually have the co-founder and founder of Paravisions Paranormal on our show on Tuesday. So join in, everybody, and I need to find something to play us out on because Jeff's not here to bitch about what I play. So what am I going to play? And it sucks having to try to do multitasking.
Right.
Oh. All right, everybody. Have a good night.
All right, good night, everybody.